And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is Melissa Lockard with Steve Berman from the Seamheads, a show about the Oakland A's. Well, the A's season is on the brink as they fall down two games love in this best of five game series against the Astros in the American League Division Series. It was a rough game too for the offense after some early inning explosions with two long home runs that kind of made it look like maybe it was going to be another slugfest. But lefty Framber Valdez had his best stuff working and the A's were set down pretty quietly after the fifth inning. And it leads to what has got to be a pretty desperate situation for them going into game three.
Yeah, this is obviously not what they wanted, being down 0-2. This game really was sort of a tale of two different things. You know, Manaea pitched probably about as well as I would have expected after watching him all season. I know he's been better lately, but I wasn't confident in him going up against the White Sox because they really just mashed lefties. But he just has been pretty hittable all season long, and he's a fly ball pitcher, and in that ballpark with that heat, I wasn't really surprised to see him give up a couple home runs. But you know, they had actually, I think, five hits and a walk in the first four innings, including the two home runs, and their offense looked like it was moving along pretty well. And then 13 straight guys were retired. They didn't get another guy on base until Simeon's single in the ninth inning. I mean, Simeon had a decent offensive game, 2-for-3 at the walk. But, you know, you look at runners in scoring position stats, and the A's didn't have any runners in scoring position in this game. So they had guys that went to first base. They grounded into two double plays, and they had Stephen Biscotti get thrown out second, trying to advance on a ball maybe he shouldn't have. And so they just really couldn't mount any sort of rallies at all. I think Paredes is a guy that, you know, maybe he's not available for game three, and that could be the A's saving grace because they can't hit him. But Valdez pitched a great game, and the A's bullpen actually, other than the home run that Petit gave up right when he came in there, was good, but it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, maybe the best way to avoid having struggles with runners in scoring position is just not to get them there. So they
exactly.
Took care of that at least. But, you know, I think it was one of those situations too where they had to get him early and they just didn't, and the double play in the first inning Tommy La Stella hit into kind of set the tone. I mean, he hit the ball hard, but he was ahead in the count. It looked like they were going to really start a rally because Valdez looked a little bit nervous in the beginning. You know, he gave up the leadoff hit then, and he had fallen behind Simeon, fell behind La Stella again, then got back into the count, and La Stella made hard contact but grounded into the double play, and all of a sudden that inning kind of wraps up. And then, you know, later in the game, it sort of devolved that way too. And in the ninth inning, you know, that Bob Melvin talked about, they felt like after Simeon got that base hit, they were going to come back. And I kind of had that feeling too, especially when La Stella went up in the count there as well. But again, he got a pitch that he hit well, but just got under. You could see his frustration as he sort of slammed the bat down, and the double play ended it. But, you know, I think it was just one of those situations where if they weren't going to get the pitcher early, they weren't going to get him at all.
It's rough. I mean, you can look at a few different things for the A's in this postseason where they did win that first series, which was nice, but they haven't really played that well overall. And so, you know, a few guys here and there stepped up. Chris Davis obviously has been back to his old self, which has been great to see. But you look at, they have gotten one good start in this postseason so far out of five games. Their bullpen has been pretty decent overall with a couple hiccups, but that hasn't really been the big problem. Defense hasn't been that great. And if you look at really, I think, what's killed them in this series, it's their production from Matt Olson and their outfielders. I mean, Olson's hitting 0-67 in the postseason with that one hit, a home run yesterday. Stephen Piscotty has played sparingly. He's 1-for-5, but he got thrown out at second base. Grossman's 1-for-12. Laureano is just, he's been lost ever since the suspension. He's 2-for-18. I mean, Laureano's been one of my favorite players to watch over the last couple of years, but I have to admit, he's been awful for, at least offensively, for you know, well over a month now. And Mark Canha is 1-for-16. So when you talk about all of your outfielders going like 1-for-16, that's pretty difficult. And when Matt Olson is supposed to be sort of the anchor of your lineup, goes 1-for-15, that's not going to help either. So really, if you're just counting on Chris Davis and Sean Murphy and Chad Pinder and Marcus Semien to carry you offensively, maybe that can work in a game or two. But if you're not getting good starting pitching at all, except for one game, you know, this game two of the wildcard series, then you're in trouble.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
They have one more game at least to try to right the ship before it's all over. And surprisingly, the Astros are going to be going with Jose Urquidy, the young right-hander, as opposed to Zach Greinke, who I think everybody thought was going to be the Game 3 starter. They announced after Game 2 that Greinke is experiencing some arm soreness. It sounded like he was going to go see a doctor, although there were some photos on Twitter a little bit later that showed him throwing in the outfield. So maybe it'll be a situation where he'd be available in a Game 4 or 5 if the series got to that point. But in some ways, it's maybe a less favorable matchup that they are going to face Urquidy instead of Greinke. As good as Greinke has been throughout his whole career and as much postseason experience as they've had, I felt like the A's had really good at-bats against him during the regular season. Chris Davis has sort of owned him throughout his career. And not that Chris Davis necessarily needs any help right now, as hot as he is. But I do think that the kind of softer tossing Greinke, you know, might have been a better matchup for him. But it's going to be Urquidy. They did get a chance to see him in September. He only pitched in September because he started the season off with a COVID-19 diagnosis. But, you know, it's going to be another situation again where they're probably going to have to get him early if they're going to get him at all, because, you know, the more comfortable a young pitcher gets, I think, with stuff like his, he can settle in and be pretty dominant.
They're going to have to jump on him too, also just to try to get some momentum and hold on to it, because it seems like what's happened is they do surge out to a lead, but it's not a big enough one. And then when the Astros punch back, it seems like they just get knocked back on their heels. I think it was Chad Pinder today who said something similar, actually. Just the kind of the momentum just kind of swung in this game today when they thought that they, you know, jumped out with that Chris Davis home run and, you know, maybe they got things cooking. And then the third inning, they gave up a couple runs. And all of a sudden, you're playing from behind again. The fourth inning, another run. And then the fifth inning, it seemed like, you know, even it felt like it was a 5-2 lead, but it felt like a 8-2 lead. And yeah, it's frustrating for sure. The series is not over. Teams have come back from down 2-0. It's definitely easier to come back from down 2-0 than down 3-0 in a 7-game series. To win 3 games in a row is not unheard of, and the A's have done so against the Astros even this season. So it's definitely possible. You're going to have Luzardo pitching in Game 3, which a lot of people were surprised by. I wasn't particularly surprised. I actually thought Luzardo Starter might pitch one of the first two games in the series. I don't think they looked at his start against the White Sox and thought of it as anything other than just, you know, the White Sox are a team that mashes left-handers and, you know, give Luzardo another shot. So I wasn't that surprised. I think it's Luzardo, and then Montas is piggybacking him if he gets knocked out in the first or second inning or third inning, because, you know, it's all hands on deck for this game. It really doesn't matter what happens if they lose. So I don't know if they're going to save Montas for game four unless Luzardo pitches, you know, like a solid six innings.
Yeah, I mean, Montas has been in the dugout for the first two games, so I think he was definitely not an option to come in relief in those two games. But given that, you know, it will be an all-hands-on-deck situation, I'm certain he'll be down in the bullpen for game three. And in a normal situation where you have a team that plays a lot of matchups, it might be interesting to start with Luzardo and then bring in Montas in sort of a planned situation just to be able to get the lineup to sort of shift over, you know, if you kind of take guys out of the game going from left-handed to right-handed, obviously two guys that have really electric stuff and can get a lot of strikeouts. But the Astros don't really do a ton of matching up. I mean, the difference will be between seeing Josh Reddick and Diaz, I think, is really the, you know, kind of main switch. So it's not necessarily as big a deal to try to figure out how you manage those as you would if you were on a team that did a lot of kind of in-game shifting. So, you know, if this situation arises, they'll put Montas in. I certainly don't think they'll hold him back for game four in hopes there will be a game four. If there's a need, they'll take it and worry about game four later. You know, I think they still will have Mike Fiers if they needed to. They've obviously could go with an opener situation. Chris Bassett could come back on short rest for, you know, a game four or a game five. So I think that'll kind of come only, you know, Montas would only not be used, I think, if Luzardo went deep into the game and they really weren't going to need him. So I think, you know, that's probably the approach they're going to take. And it'll be a right-hander, you know, going for Houston. So you'll expect to see probably Jake Lamb start the game and then Chad Pinder be available off the bench, which, you know, has worked decently well. It seems like he had the long home run today, but it all seems like he's been even more effective at times coming off the bench in games, even if it's early on in the game. So that'll be a weapon that the A's can kind of turn to if they need it. And, you know, I think Grossman had a really good swing on that eighth inning pinch hit at bat that he had, and maybe he's able to carry that over into, you know, better results for, you know, this kind of, he certainly is likely to start against the right-hander in game three. So we'll see, but they're going to definitely need an early spark. I think that'll be something they're looking for in the game two, win or go home situation in the wild card series. Getting out to that early lead was huge. And so getting out to an early lead and then holding it will definitely be key for the A's surviving another day tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back after game three for more discussion and to see if the A's can push it to a fourth game.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.